We know a person's right to get full credit for the work that he or she does. We even have laws based on that concept. Copyright laws, for example, are meant to protect the work and the product of musicians, songwriters, authors. Patent laws do the same thing for the inventor of something or a mechanical designer. So, with that in mind, we should recognize both plagiarism and, yes, from God's point of view, a sin happens if you take the copyrighted words of an author and quote them in your paper without acknowledging the source. It is both cheating and a sin from God's point of view to take the homework of your classmate and pass it off as your own. Let's keep these examples in mind as we turn to a passage that identifies something far worse than plagiarism. It's the worst form of credit stealing out there. The one true God, who is the only God, has said about himself through the prophet Isaiah, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images." Stealing glory, credit, from God is an ancient problem, tied most directly to idolatry, like the worship of Baal. Stealing credit from God today is more subtle, but it happens on a daily basis in the secular world, in many academic institutions, even on the pages of a science textbook. I think you know where I'm going to go with this. God deserves full credit for his amazing work of creation 6,000 years ago, just like the contractor and the architect deserve credit for a building that they put together here in town. Well, consider what the evolutionist has done with his theory. He's taking glory from God, the credit for the work of creation, and falsely giving it to what amounts to nature, when he says, as though it were true, that nature put itself together through random events and accidental changes taking place in a random sort of way over the course of billions of years. One day, God will make it clear and obvious to everyone that he is the maker of all things. Until then, we, his people, have a responsibility to stand up for him, to represent his claim, and defend his work, his honor, his glory, on the basis of what the Bible says. This doesn't mean, however, that we creation-believing Christians are somehow in the clear. We have our own ways of stealing credit from God, and usually it comes from or involves our pride. In pride, we think of ourselves primarily as the one who did all that hard work to build this thing, or to earn that money, or to get the good grade by our intelligence, or to make that heroic, amazing play in the game by way of the prowess of athletic ability. In pride, we blank out God's involvement, and we do not acknowledge him or thank him for his giving to us everything. Our abilities, our opportunities, our resources, all the help that he provides. This self-centered focus that we have, folks, it's just as wrong as supporting evolution or the modern idolatrous claim of Muslims that Allah is the creator God. Thankfully, God gets all the credit for doing something very amazing on our behalf. on the one hand, we've got our sins, whether it's pride, thanklessness, or something else, as enough reason for God to be done with us, to reject us, the whole world. And you know, if that actually happened, it would be fair. It would be right. It would keep the glory of God's holiness intact. In fact, if He did not punish our sins, that would actually cause the glory of His holiness to shrink. Here's where Jesus Christ enters the picture as the greatest thing God ever did. On the one hand, we can only cower at the glory of the holy God. And yet, on the other hand, we become overwhelmed by the winsome, incredible glory of the God of grace. In the person and work of Jesus, these two aspects of God merge together at the cross. And the Bible lays out what happens for you and me. In keeping with His holiness, God declares that we are to be like Him, holy, living a perfect life of obedience. Well, that truth is matched with what His grace does, deciding to have Jesus fulfill that requirement for you and me. Likewise, in keeping with His holiness, all of our sins need to be paid for in full. Well, that truth is matched with His grace, deciding that Jesus would make that payment. Yes, God gets all the glory for something that has been called the great exchange, what we hear in 2 Corinthians 5. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, all of our sins are placed on Jesus by design, so that He gets from God, think of it, the blame, the shame, the punishment. He gets from God our curse, the wrath we deserve, as the full brunt of God's justice. Meanwhile, His perfect record has been applied to you and me. Again, by design. It's not some kind of cosmic credit stealing either, or a false identification. No, this is what grace does. This is your salvation underway. This is your forgiveness made certain, your hope of eternal life, and the best reason we have to thank and glorify God as both Creator and Savior, with the eyes of our faith focused on Jesus, and His gospel ringing in our ears, and His love captivating our hearts. The glory that God deserves to get is what we begin to offer in our worship, in our prayers, in the songs of the tour choir going out in a few days, and all other forms of Christian witness that we bring to the world. To the God who has saved us, be the glory in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Let us close our worship of praise to our God, singing hymn 37, stanzas 1 and 3. 1 and 3 of hymn 37.